Be'ezus Hashem, we are going to begin our Parsha class in Parshas Chayisara. It is the 29th day in October of 2018, and it's in the Hebrew calendar, it is Chav Beis Marcheshen, the 22nd day in Cheshen Tavshin Ayintes. Parshas Chayisara begins with the sad episode where Sarah passes away at a relatively young age. As the Torah describes that she was 127 years old, and she dies suddenly, and Chazal tell us she died as a result of the Akedah that just took place prior to her death, as she was anxiously waiting Avraham and Yitzchak's return from some trip that lasted 3 days, and at that point she could no longer contain herself, as the Medrash explains that the Satan frightened her to the point where she was put into a state of hysteria, and then she passed away out of shock, finding out that her son was being brought on the Mizbeach as a korban. We can understand this terrible shock, as she waited her whole lifetime for her son Yitzchak to be born, and he's now 37 years old, a young man, which is her promising future for the Jewish people to become a people, and now she finds out that her son was being brought on the Mizbeach as a korban, and at least according to some commentaries, this was the cause of her death. And as a result, she passed away in a place called Kiryas Arba, which is also known to be Hebron, in the land of Canaan. When Avraham discovered her death, Avraham went together with Yitzchak to mourn her passing and to speak to the people of Bnei Ches, those were the residents of Kiryas Arba, and he literally implored, he needs a burial place, he needs a site to bury his wife Sarah, and he asked the countrymen to beseech Ephron, who has the Maoros HaMachpelah in his possession, so that Avraham would be able to purchase it. Avraham speaks to Ephron, and Ephron at first openly says, "I have a piece of land. That the piece of land that you want, there's no problem, it's yours." And as I will quote the words of the Pasuk, the Pasuk says on page 107, excuse me, 108, in the Art Scroll Chumash, where Ephron says, "Lo Adoni Shema'eni Hasadeh Nasati Lach," the top of the page, Pasuk Yud Aleph, where Avram offers to pay him money for the plot of land, the Maoros HaMachpelah. He says, "No, my master, listen to me. Nasati Lacha, I've given it to you, it's yours. V'amara ha-sheboi, l'cha, nisatia, to you it is being given. I'm giving it to you." And he's saying this, le'eni b'nei ami, nisatia l'ch, I'm giving it to you before the eyes of the sons of my people. Go, kavon meisecha, bury your dead. Avram was a smart man, and he didn't want it for free. He knew if he were to take a gift from Ephron, maybe his children or his grandchildren would oppose it later on and say, "We were shortchange. Our father or grandfather gave away a piece of our inheritance to Avram. That was a gift. We didn't agree to it. And there would be a whole conflict between the children of Avram and the children of Ephraim. And Avram says, no, no, thank you, please. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. V'yistachu Avram lefnei am ha'oretz. And Avram bows down to the people of the land. V'yidaber el Ephraim ba'osnei am ha'oretz. And he speaks to Ephraim, while in front of all of the people of the land, land is listening. I wish you would listen to me. Nasati kesef asadakach mimani. I have the money. Take it from me. Ve'ekber esmeisi shaman. I will bury my dead there. Now, after Ephraim made his speech and sees that Avram is interested in the money, now Ephraim answers back to Avram. Now it's not in front of all the ears of the people. He's talking directly to Avram. He sees, you see, you're anxious, you're interested in getting this part. Okay, listen, you're a rich man anyway. Please, Adoni, Shema'eni, Eretz Arba Me'os Shekel Kesef. There's a land, it's 400 silver coins. What is the 400 coins? It was no big deal. Go ahead and bury your dead. As soon as he saw he had an opportunity to go ahead and demand of Avram a large sum, and he knew Avram would not refuse, he offered, he demanded that he would get 400 silver coins for this purchase. And when Avraham heard that, he was very upset. At first he publicly said he's going to give the lands for free, he's going to take nothing for it, and now he demands a sum that nobody in his community would ever pay that kind of money. And the pasuk says Avraham listened to him. Vayishma Avram el Ephraim, Vayishkol Avram le Ephraim es hakesef. Avram listened to Ephraim, and he weighed Avram the money to Ephraim, the money which Ashidibra ba'ozne b'neches, which was spoken to in front of the ears of the b'neches. Arba meyo shekel kesef, 400 silver coins over a socher. That would be good to every merchant, meaning it was in mint condition. Now, if you look at the words to see how disappointed Avram was, the word Vayishko is missing above. It's written Vav Yud Shin Kuf Lamed, when it should have a Lamed, a Vav before the Lamed. And the word Le'ephron, the next word, Le'ephron, the second next word, I should say, is also missing above. The Vav in Ephraim. All the other times Ephraim's name is with a Vav. Where Rashi tells us that this was an indication that Ephraim tried to deceive, and actually he did deceive Avram, first making him think that he was going to give him a gift, and then taking an enormous amount. So when Avram weighed the money, he gave it to him, but with disappointment. Now this is basically the story I want to spend time on. I think it's important to take note of this particular incident. We are all familiar that Avram went to 10 nisyonos, 10 major tests. There is a machlekes, a dispute on what was the last nisyon, the last test. According to Rashi and according to the Rambam, they both agree that the last nisayon, the last test, was Akedas Yitzchak, the binding of Yitzchak on the Mizbeach. But according to Rabbeinu Yonah, another Rishon, he says, no. He said the last test was the test of Avraham having to look for a plot of land to bury Sarah after Hashem had promised Avraham that the land is his. Hashem had told Avram, "Kum, get up, hisalech be'eretz la'orcho la'achpo, ki l'cho etnena, go up and look at the width and the breadth of the land, I'm leaving it to you." He promised him, this is his land. And now at the moment of his pain, where he has now his beloved wife Sarah, is now suddenly has died, and he's looking for a plot of land, he has to barter, he has to make a business deal with somebody where by rights he can say, this is my land, just do me a favor, just walk to the side and I'm going to bury my dead. And then the test was that Avram didn't even flinch an eye. He didn't have a feeling, a thought of disappointment against Hashem. And Rabbeinu Yonah brings down that the Gemara in Bava Basra that says the following quote. I'm quoting from my Rebbe Sefer, the Sefer Chidekel. Vayayim Hashem al Satan. The Gemara is saying the following dialogue. Hashem said to the Satan, "My ayin tovo, from where have you come?" Vayan Satan. The Satan returns and the answer, and he says, "Omer lefanav, Ribbono shelayim, v'tati b'chol ha'olam kulay. I have hovered over the entire world. I've searched over the entire world. I haven't found a more loyal servant for you other than Avraham. Shamaritalo, you Hashem told Avraham, kum, get up, hisalech be'eretz, get up and walk in the land, to the length and to the width, for you I will give it. Fafilu haki, and even though b'shar shalom matza mokum litpo esare achakone b'dalad meya shekel kesef, he couldn't find a burial plot for his wife to the very land that you Hashem promised him, and without having to spend a fortune of money to the land that was his. It's given to him, it's free, it's his. Lo hira acha mitasecha, he didn't even have a thought, never mind a word, but a thought didn't pass his mind. His faith in you was so strong that this was your will. And therefore, says the Satan, he, in my eyes, was the greatest living human being that he has met. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, therefore, the Akedas Yitzchak is the ninth test, and the tenth test was the passing of Sarah and the burial of Sarah in the Ma'aris HaMachpelah.
Why couldn't he have 11 tests?
Because
why couldn't he just make that the 11th?
At the end of the day, you'll see there's
that's
more.
No, God's number two.
The truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, you are 1,000% right. Because what we're going to soon say is that Al Pi Chazal, we're quoting our rabbis of blessed memory, that they told us in the Mishnayos, Pirkei Avos, that Avram was tested 10 tests, and his love for Hashem was so intense that he stood strong by all 10 of them. The point that I'm talking about now is not the number of how many tests more he could get, is that we are recognizing that there is a little bit of a dispute in what was the 10th test. The 10th test is a bit of a surprise to us, because we thought that the 10th was the strongest and the most demanding test of all tests.
So what test is eliminated?
And that, and it's not eliminated. And therefore, And we know that Hashem has already made it clear by the Akedah that he says, I now I know, you are a God-fearing person. You haven't denied your son from me. So he already told him that his feeling on the matter. So it is a difficult question over here. After he told Avram, you passed the test. I know now, after all the 9 other tests, this after the 10th test, you've been successful. You've been victorious over the other nisyonos, right? And now the 10th test is the clincher, so it seems, right? So it is difficult to understand what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, that this was the 10th test, even though it appeared to us that the Akedah was the strongest and the most powerful. So we have to explain that. But what we see from over here is that the test that Avram was tested was the test of Sarah passing away and not having a place to bury her. So my Rebbe explains a very interesting concept that when people are put to the test, they usually rise to the challenge, especially when the test is very, very intense. When they're tested with all their strength against an adversary or against a difficult situation, so when they challenge such a test, strong people, courageous people, heroic people stand up and pass very difficult tests. But the same victor, the same hero, sometimes can't pass small and tiny tests. They are not prepared to pass small tests. They are prepared to pass giant tests. But a small test, they may fumble. Chazal tell us that when people have come back from fighting a war for a Jewish cause, many were told, you have just have come back from a war, but now you're going to involve yourself in another war. A war against the Satan, against the Yetzirah. A different kind of a test. Which perhaps in your mind might be regarded as a small test. But the reality is, it's a very big test. The Satan is very cunning. He's always there trying to catch you. What my Rebbe is trying to bring out over here, and what Rabbeinu Yonah ultimately is trying to say, is that
what is small, like a small test? You mean like what was his
right,
big war,
right? And then
being able to handle that.
That's also a test. Having to go back into society, but to control, to be now among people without having to be vicious and to be harsh and cruel. Right, and to be difficult to deal with because you just finished killing who knows how many people. But then you have your Yetzirah, your inner test. So Rabbeinu Yain over here, what was the test that Avram was tested? That he didn't have a hirhura, a bad thought. That in comparison to the Akedah, is like infinitesimal. It's tiny. But that was a test too. And Rabbeinu Yonah is trying to impart to us, although the question is, why is that the 10th test? Right? Why was that the 10th test? To teach us that Avram was not finished being tested. Avram is going to be tested, even in small, tiny things, as a thought of, why did Hashem say, you got to give me the land for free, where I had to purchase it for 400 silver coins, which was a fortune of money. Hashem promised it to me. It's mine. Why did I have to struggle to get it? And he could have rightfully complained and had that thought. That's the small test. But the small test revealed the nature of a human being. That while this person, a human being, is in this world, he's always going to be tested. Not necessarily with tests like an akedah of being put to the line where life and death is the result of that decision. But small tests, as emunah in betachin, faith in Hashem and reliance on Him all the time, is also a test. So as Meir Rebbe explained, which is, if you think about it, it's an extremely important a point to ponder, that Avraham Avinu was tested in something like that. He was tested in if his thought would be negative against Hashem. And if you want to know the truth, the Satan, even after the Akedah, even before the death of Sarah, tried his hardest to botch up, so to say, the greatest test of Akedas Yitzchak. Well, how did he try to botch that up? After Hashem says, I know now you are a God-fearing person. We all know what happened at the end of the Akedah, that Avram was looking for a ram, was looking to go ahead and shecht an animal in place of Yitzchak. And the Torah tells us that the ram that was created from Sheshish and Mebereshis, from the beginning of time, and we're told that it was right before Shabbos this ram was created, and this ram was created for one purpose, that it should run in front of the feet of Avram and say to Avram, here I am, I'm prepared to be slaughtered for you, because this is why it was created. This means that this ram had lived over 2,000 years, because this ram had been in the boat of Noah. This ram had one function, that to go ahead and be the korban in place of Yitzchak. What did the Torah tell us? It says, "Vayisa Avram es Einav." I'm quoting in the end of Vayera. If you want to look it up in Pasuk Yud Gimel, page 102 in the article, "Vayisa Avram es Einav," and Avram lifts up his eyes. The last line on the page, "Vayar," and he sees Vehina Ayel. Behold a ram. Acha nechaz basvach. Afterwards, right, it's caught in the thicket, in the bushes. Bikarnav, by its horns, by its antlers. Vayelech Avram, vayikach es ha'ayel, vayelech la'ol ha'tachas v'no. Avram goes ahead and he takes the ayel and brings it up as a burnt offering in place of his son. Isn't there an interesting question? I once brought this out some many months ago. This animal had one goal, had one mission, to become the korban. And all of a sudden it gets stuck in the branches of a tree. How did that happen? And if that was its only mission, why did it get stuck? Says Rashi. Let's look in the Rashi. The Rashi is in the bold words Bisvach on page 102. You have 102. The bold word Bisvach. Here it should be. Okay, let me help you. One second here.
This is it in the English.
No. This is what I find it for you over here. Here, Bisvach. I'll show it to you over here, Michael McCarno. Shahaya. Rot Esel Avram. This isle was running to fulfill its mission. It ran to Avram. Vasatan Seifchai. Umar Arvavai. The Satan went ahead and confused it and made it run and get caught in the trees. The Satan was behind this. The Satan sabotaged.
But isn't it easier to catch a ram if it's caught in a thicket than running by you?
Maybe if you're a hunter.
Maybe God made it more convenient for him to get the ram.
No, but the ram was running to. No, don't forget, the ram was created to run to the feet of Avram. The fact that it was caught in the bushes was the master plan, or the last resort, I should say, for the Satan to try to sabotage the mitzvah of Akedas Yitzchak. That maybe, Avram will have a bad thought and says, oh, after all this, I can't even get the ram I'm supposed to? And according to the Medrash, you already made a bracha al shkitas bini, on slaughtering my son. The Satan was trying his last resort to try to sabotage the very mitzvah that Hashem has attested that Avram is a God-fearing person and has passed the greatest test. So we see that the Satan never, ever is done. The Satan is always out to sabotage what we're doing. And that's what we're in this world for, to always pass tests. And according to how my Rebbe is explaining, the Rebbeinu Yonah over here, that why is this the last test? Because to tell us that we're never finished. We're never finished being tested by the Satan. And we're never finished, and the test could even be minimal, could be small, could be subtle. It could be a thought. And that is also a test. And that's very important for us to take into consideration, that as we are aware, that the word Nisayon means a test, comes from the root word Nes, not Nun Samach. A Nes means a banner, or a post, or a sign. It's something that you display, like, it could be something that's put like a flag on a flag. There's a banner. You can post it up so people can see it. When a person is tested, two things are happening when he passes the test. People see him as a hero who he overcame a difficult challenge, and he sees himself as a person who grew bigger and better than he was a moment ago. By a person passing a test, he shows Hashem and others that he is in control, and he shows himself that he is a stronger person. And if you think about this, life is full of nisyonos, and we're always challenged on things that we're supposed to be doing correctly, or to avoiding doing something incorrectly, whether it's, let's say, in shul, talking when we shouldn't be talking. And if we control ourselves, then we pass the test, and we became stronger for the next test. When a person does a mitzvah and he controls himself and he does it with a smile, he does a mitzvah with relish, with love and with excitement, even though sometimes it's not easy to do a mitzvah that way, he passes the test. He becomes a greater person, and he has climbed that ladder, becomes bigger and better. Lahavdol, why then? Not just in the world of mitzvahs and serving Hashem, but even in the physical world, you're challenged when you go to a gym and you have to struggle to pick up weights or to run an extra mile to exercise, and the exerciser, the man who is your advisor, is telling you, you know, you can do it, you can do it. Why is he telling you that? The coach is telling you, you can do it, you can do it. Even though it's hard, because he knows at the end of the day, if you do it, you become stronger, your endurance will become greater and bigger and longer, and you have achieved the goal which you weren't so excited to achieve at first, because it's hard, it's difficult. And by achieving a goal, you became better and stronger and a greater achiever. People who can pick up a barbell of 25 pounds and then they do this week after week, by the fourth or fifth week, they say 25 pounds is not a challenge, I'll try 35 or 40 pounds. And then they start with that. Well, how could they pick up 40 pounds if they barely could pick up 20, 25? The answer is they passed their own challenge. They competed against themselves and they were able to do it. And just like it's in the physical world, right? And if you succeed, you become stronger, better, and more confident. Same thing as in the world of Torah. If a person passes challenges to doing mitzvahs, he becomes encouraged to do the mitzvah better and with more excitement and with more enthusiasm. If a person, let's say, was challenged to give X amount of dollars of tzedakah, let's say he was challenged to give $100 of tzedakah, but he found $100 of tzedakah difficult. But he gave the $100 of tzedakah because he knew the cause was right. And when he gave the $100 of tzedakah, he wrote out the check and it hurt him a drop. But he passed the test. Because he passed the test, he's now capable next time of giving maybe 150 or 180. Because he has now the wherewithal to open up his heart a drop more and to be able to extend himself beyond $100. We're all tested. And this is our place in this world, always to grow. A purpose of a test, as I said before, is not just to tell other people how capable you are, but it's to prove to yourself that you are capable and you are in the mode of growing. When you pass the test, you are growing. And this is our goal being in this world. I'd like to conclude with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perikei, Mishnah Chavtes. Part of towards the end of the Mishnah says the following. She'al kohachacha atanotzar. Against your will, you were created. Va'al kohachacha atanolad. And against your will, you are born. Al kochacha atachai, and against your will, you were made to live. Al kochacha atomeis, and against your will, you will die. Al kochacha atoose litin din v'cheshbin, and against your will, in the future, you will stand before the tribunal, and give an accounting. Before whom? Melech Malchim, Malchim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's not forget that we in this world have a mission. We didn't quite explain Rabbeinu Yonah's opinion that why this particular test was the strongest test, but we explained a very important thing that Rabbeinu Yonah brought to us, that Avraham was tested even subtle things, even after the greatest test, which is a lesson to us that we are always in this world being put to a test so that we could go through life growing, achieving, and reaching our potential before we go before the Almighty's holy tribunal in Olam HaBa. Mi'atzah Hashem. You should have a great week.